views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to Intuit University, compassionate guidance, connecting you to your inner wisdom with internationally renowned psychic and medium, Sherry Dillard. Sherry believes that we're all psychic, and she's the expert in understanding the various ways that intuition naturally surfaces and activating your most powerful and natural wisdom, your psychic knowing. Get ready for an hour of practical spirituality, fun, and a magic carpet ride into the spirit realm. This hit show is a combination of call-in readings and intuitive mentoring as Sherry supports, inspires, and empowers you to create your best life in relationships, career, finances, life purpose, spirituality, and more. Tap into the divine within to harness your innate ability to co-create abundance, harmonious relationships, joy, and well-being in a fun and interesting way. Now, here's your host, Sherry Dillard.
Hello, everybody. I hope you're all doing very, very good today. This is Sherry Dillard. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad you're here also. And this is Intuit University. We're going to have a very good show today. I'm really looking forward to it. Before I bring on our guest, I just wanted to give you a little background as to why this topic today is so important to me, which is about creativity. We're going to have an incredible artist sharing with us in just a moment. But before we bring Jerry Winstrom on, I wanted to just share that before I became involved in the work I am now, which is intuition, connecting with those on the other side, and, kind of the psychic kind of things that I do. I was an artist, and I loved being an artist. I wanted to live my entire life being an artist, and I lived, I'm in Durham, North Carolina, but I had a small studio in my backyard. And I spent many, many hours there working and having a great time. I mostly painted silk and wove. And I began to, I was always very intuitive, but I began to kind of, I guess what we would call now clairvoyance, which is just really seeing strong images. And from there, I began to really connect with guides and spirits. And a kind of a whole world opened for me that art was kind of the door that led me into it. And as wonderful as that all was, I didn't want to leave behind art. Yet I kept getting an intuitive message that it was important for me to kind of go into the work that I'm doing now. So to make a long story short, what happened to me was that one very sunny, nice day, I was driving downtown, and a person ran a red light and hit me, my car, and kind of spun me around. And as I was spinning around, I thought, you know, I think there's a message in all of this. And the message that I kind of knew intuitively was that I was meant to kind of get out of the studio and to do some other things. And I was not severely hurt in the accident, but I was hurt enough that I was unable to continue to do art. And that's when I went back to school and I got a degree in New Thought and pastoral counseling. And that's when I began my career as an intuitive. And from there, I've done a lot of work with other people, with art therapy and interesting kinds of things. But that's my story, at least at the beginning, my intersection with art and intuition. And I'm going to bring Jerry Winstrom on now. Before I do, let me tell you a little bit about him. He, for years, lived the life of a promising New York-based studio painter, toiling long hours over canvases. Then in 1979, at the age of 29, Winstrom abandoned what he knew and embarked on a journey of personal transformation. He destroyed his art, gave away all his possessions and money, and began a life of what he calls unconditional trust. He lived for 15 years trusting in his own inner guidance and the Earth's bounty to provide for his basic needs. He eventually moved to, I don't know if I can say this correctly, but he moved to an island in Washington, married teacher and singer Marilyn Strong and began a new series of interactive sculptures, much of which is deeply imbued with symbolic and mythic themes. Wenstrom's compelling, unique, and at times whimsical interactive box series is composed of sarcophagus-like sculptures standing 6 to 8 feet tall. The boxes are carved from the weathered cedar Wenstrom finds in the forest and on the beaches in his home base. Metal components, many of which move, are fashioned from found objects discarded by others. In the piece War, pulling the trigger on the protruding gun shoots a pistol inside, making a bang and popping out a smoking human skull with flapping jaw. Wow. In The Key to Heaven, viewers activate the piece by inserting a dime and turning a brass crank. In others, hair is made from old rope, and in The Alchemist, the flywheel of the internal working steam engine is a recycled coffee plunger. Wow. You know, I've watched many of Jerry's videos, and I've seen these on the videos. If you definitely should check them out. They're, when I say it, it doesn't give kind of, you know, the full, seeing it is one thing, trust me. Wenstrom's themes deal heavily in life and death, rebirth, spirituality, and facing our fears. In 2002, in his book, The Inspired Heart, An Artist's Journey of Transformations, Wenstrom also cautions, our old ways of being on the planet are beginning to fail. Our social norms, forms, and structures are radically changing and breaking down. Our mother, the earth, is ailing. So, Jerry Wenstrom, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you for having me, Sherry.
I am so happy you're here. I, like I was just saying, you know, I kind of indulged myself today, and I started watching one of your videos, and before you knew it, I had kind of gotten through quite a few of them. Your work is incredibly magic. It's just wonderful, and like I said, you know, please, if you're listening out there and interested, please take a look at them, because describing them doesn't, you know, in any way kind of give the full kind of impact of seeing them. So, Jerry, as I listened to some of your talks that you gave on YouTube, it seems like kind of your transformation in some ways began when you destroyed a large body of art and gave away what you owned and lived kind of in that kind of way for 15 years. What kind of inspired you to do that, to kind of make such a radical change?
Yeah, well, you know, it's not as if it all happens overnight. I think, you know, you being an artist, you know that there's something about the creative process that where you might take a risk and maybe, you know, destroy or ruin what would be anyone else would consider good enough, you know, your kind of own personal status quo. And in taking that risk, something inspired comes through. And I think at the time I felt like art had taken me as far as it could in the form I was so attached to. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at some level the gods upped the ante, and I felt like I needed to do that process with my whole life. And I fasted for a month, and after that length of time, it became very clear that I could keep doing what I was doing, but it would have been a fear-based choice, or I could go for that strange allurement that promised nothing. There were no guarantees, but I sensed it would bring everything into my life that I needed to be and become. So on the strength of that clarity, I destroyed all my work and gave everything I owned away, and it turned out to be the most important thing I've ever done with my life.
Yeah, it sounds incredible. You know, we're going to have to take a break in just a moment here. We've got just a minute. We are going to come back with Jerry. I'm really looking forward to this conversation with him. If you are interested, like I said, you can check out his YouTube videos. You can check out his website, which is www.handsofalchemy.com. We're going to be back in just a moment. This is Sherry Dillard, my website, by the way, is www.sherrydiller.com, and feel free to check me out also. Thanks.
Tune into Intuit University, compassionate guidance, connecting you to your inner wisdom with internationally renowned psychic and medium, Sherry Dillard. Each Thursday at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern. Get ready for an hour of practical spirituality, fun, and a magic carpet ride into the spirit realm. This hit show is a combination of call-in readings and intuitive mentoring, as Sherry supports, inspires, and empowers you to create your highest good in relationships, career, finances, life purpose, spirituality, and more. For more information, visit SherryDillard.com. Saskia has been helping clients around the world to find the North Star in their soul and reinvent their lives through her free breakthrough program, The Secret Soul Map to Your Dreams in 21 Days. If you have a calling but aren't sure how to get there, here's a step-by-step strategy to find your purpose now. You'll learn her proven secrets to achieve your dream in just 21 days. Release your fears and go after your biggest dreams and create the life you love. Visit YourSoulGuidance.com to receive your free 21 Secret Soul Map to Your Dreams. Or to schedule your soul breakthrough session with Saskia, call 978-302-0861. That's 978-302-0861.
Join Lisa Kay, international business consultant and mentor, and host of the hit show Success and Empowerment, as she combines a voracious appetite for learning and a life mission to understand and simplify the complex as she delivers a recipe for your unique talent. Lisa's intuitive ability to ask the right question has set her apart as she engages the most inspiring people in the world to tell their story. Tune in each Tuesday at 2 Pacific at TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Did anyone teach you to be a parent? What if there were tools that could make your job a whole lot easier? Glenna Rice invites you to be the questionable parent you truly be in a dynamic teleseries designed to empower parents to know that they know and give you the awareness required to create ease and joy between you and your children. Check out GlennaRice.com to learn more and to book a private session, or dial 415-235-2807.
What if you could teach your child how to follow their own wisdom and make trustworthy decisions? The hit radio show Teaching from the Heart with Julie Kay does just that. Tune in Mondays at 9 a.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com to learn practical and spiritual ways to teach young people how to become confident in who they are. Each week, Julie takes on tough topics that most parents dread, like bullying, peer pressure, self-esteem, social media, relationships, and even poor grades. For more information about Julie Kay, visit MindFocusGeneration.com.
Hello, this is Sherry Dillard with Intuit University, and I'm talking with Jerry Wenstrom, who is an artist, an author, and he also is the star of a documentary about his life and the work that he's done. And we're talking about transformation, creativity, art, and intuition. Well, I'm talking about intuition, which is a question that I have for you, Jerry, if you don't mind addressing, and that would be, how do you feel about intuition? Does it play, how would you kind of define that for yourself?
Well, I think that there is a kind of collective knowing that can come through that's available to all of us, that we all have the potential to intuit. And so I think intuition is a very big part of any creative process. It's certain, in talking about how I ended up letting go of my art and changing my life, it was purely an intuitive process.
Uh-huh.
Because there was nothing literal about it. I mean, there were no guarantees that the world, in the 70s, art Pat was a kind of false god in New York, and artists could do no wrong, so everything said keep doing what I was doing, and yet I was getting this intuitive hit that it was too small a container for my life at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's the best seat in the house if we can cultivate that practice or that understanding.
Of what specifically?
Intuition, the ability open to intuition.
Right. You know, and I agree a lot in that way that, you know, one of the struggles that I've had as an intuitive with the work I'm doing is, and I'm going to try to put this into words because sometimes it's hard to kind of understand, is that, you know, we think of intuition as a way to gain guidance and information and to kind of help us with our lives, you know, to get more of what we want and to, and everybody wants that, you know, everybody wants to be happy, which is a wonderful thing. And I'm not, don't go that route. But at the same hand, I think that intuition actually is, it takes us deeper than that, and it takes us into a journey that, you know, I feel like the deeper you get into the intuitive sense of life, the less security you have. You know, it's kind of that paradox that we gravitate to it. Many people gravitate to using intuition for security, but yet the real magic and charm of it is that you end up having, you know, you kind of get pushed and tested into this mysterious kind of unknown, where the security you have is something that's much deeper within, and it's almost being really secure with the insecurity, you know? By the way, when I was a weaver, what I did, I understand, you know, a little bit about what you're saying, because as a weaver, you know, you spend so much time making cloth, and it's so time-consuming to, you know, do the whole process. And what I would do after I would weave it is I would actually cut it up and try to kind of re-sew it in ways that were not the way it was woven. It was kind of a real counter. It was like doing a process and then trying to completely undo the process. But I love doing that, even though, again, I mean, I don't think that I, in the world of art, was looked at as any kind of, you know, spectacular anything I was making, but it was that kind of same process of undoing, and like you said, you know, kind of getting out of the form that almost become comfortable with and trapped by a little bit. But let me ask you some more questions here. Let me ask you, how would you, you know, you have, your art is just, like I said, I can't even put words to it. It's unbelievable, really, the sculptures you're doing. And when you create, I'm just curious, when you create, what do you do? Do you feel like you create solely from within, where you're led? Do you have a sense of what you're doing when you do it, or are you kind of just led more like in the moment with it?
Well, I usually start out with some general idea that ultimately almost never unfolds in the way I originally imagined. So it's very much in the moment. And it's also holding a vision or a kind of sense of where it is you want to go with the art piece, and then just following its dictates in a certain way. I mean, there was someone visiting here just the other day, and I described it as, you know, an enormous problem, and it's about solving, you know, particularly with my kind of art, because it is so labor-intensive. You know, there's carving and metalwork and mechanics and machinery. So, you know, for it to unfold and to solve all of the problems that come up in that final creation, it's just doing one after the other and then getting an idea and taking off on that. But it is certainly more in the moment. I mean, it's like anything. You know, we start on a blank canvas and we have a sense of something we're trying to do, but it's those little quantum leaps in between that make for the really inspired works.
How did you start doing the interactive pieces more? And maybe for people who are listening who don't understand how would you even describe your interactive pieces and how you got started on them?
Well, I got started on them I saw there was a book by Carl Jung called Man and His Symbols. I'm sure many of your listeners are familiar with an older book. And there was a painted sarcophagus in that book that I just loved. And so it all started, I thought, well, I'd really love that, the feel, the look of that, the mystery of it. So I started, I just thought, well, I'll make one. And it kind of all started there. But what I see in retrospect is that my journey has been so much about facing my fears. And, you know, destroying my work, which was my total identity. You know, I grew up in a poor, mostly black neighborhood where I was the minority. So art was the one thing I could do. And so it became such an excessive identity for me because it was all I had. And so to let go of that kind of false god, you know, it was enormously difficult.
Yeah, I bet that was. Wow. You know, my son went to Cooper Union in Manhattan. You were in New York. Yeah, so you probably know Cooper Union. And it's funny, he went into Cooper Union, you know, pretty, his art was amazing. He was a painter in high school. He went to the School of the Arts in North Carolina. He went in as a painter and did incredible work. And by the time he came out of college, I don't think he's painted since going to, you know, finishing school. He started to do other things and has moved on. But I think it kind of speaks somewhat, you know, kind of what you're saying in some ways about, I think the real spirit of an artist is actually inviting some of that fear and living in that emotional place of when it becomes too safe and satisfying. I think, you know, the artist is the one who has to go explore, you know, has to kind of dive into that unknown and brings it back to us, in society, in our culture, and puts form to something that we haven't yet been able to, you know, understand in our normal kind of everyday senses, you know?
Well, that's what I was beginning to, that's what I was saying about, I mean, in some way, the art, the particular art, the sculptures I do, came out of that process where facing my fears, it just became such a natural thing to do because I don't think there's any other freedom but to be free of our limitations. But what I see in retrospect of my sculptures is that, you know, they're very death-like, they're very coffin-like, and
right.
they have carved beings inside of beings, and so they're multi-layered. And yet, so they're kind of spooky to first encounter, but if you can approach them and interact with them, many of them dispense gifts, or they do whimsical things. And so, I mean, I didn't plan this, but what I see in retrospect, it's such a perfect expression for my journey, because it has always been about walking into that thing, that metaphorical kind of death, and finding the gift in it.
Mm-hmm. And I guess, you know, well, I think, Brian, we're going to have to take a break, aren't we? Oh, I don't know if he's there. I guess I'll just talk until the music starts. And that's, I think, one thing I would really like to kind of dig a little bit deeper into is, and I'm real curious about this experience for you. When you, I mean, you talk about walking into your fear and walking into death. How does that feel to you? Does that scare you when you do it, or is?
Well, of course, yes. You know, I love what Don Juan in Carlos Castaneda's book said. He says, you know, basically in his training to be a, quote, warrior, he says, a warrior will never lose his fear. He just moves forward in it anyway. And I think,
right.
You know, that's how it is. We'll always shake in our boots a little bit when we're confronted with some new level requiring courage that, you know, sometimes we're not even sure we have. And yet in doing so, the ability to do that, that's the least we can do is continue on and say yes to this thing right in front of us. So yes, you know, I think fear will always be a part of our journey. But again, if liberation is not liberating us from our fear, then what is it? Then what is liberation? I mean, we can't hold on to all our little safeties and fears and, you know, stay in that little small box and expect to grow, because it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to get back to this in just a moment with Jerry Wenstrom. We do have to take a break right now. You're listening to Intuit University and www.handsofalchemy.com for Jerry Wenstrom.
Are you feeling stuck? Do you want to be free from fears and doubts and finally feel good about yourself, but you just don't know how to get there? Dr. Schaub's Accelerated Breakthrough Program provides you with the tools and solutions to go beyond your limitations and achieve self-empowered confidence. Call for your free phone consultation at 866-903-MIND. Visit CellularWisdom.com. That's CellularWisdom.com.
Laura Longley is on a mission to remove stuckness from your life for good and replace it with happiness. Tune in each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern for Blue Heron Wisdom Radio with Laura Longley, where authentic change takes flight. Say yes to that inspired you and goodbye to your stuckness as Laura and her guests deliver powerful ways to work through common problems in this fun and unique hit show. Check out Blue Heron Wisdom Radio with Laura Longley on TTRNetwork.com.
Hi, my name is Dr. Dane here from Access Consciousness. Are you a seeker, a dreamer, one of those people who's always known that there should be greater possibilities available but haven't yet been able to create it as your life? I'd like to help. Go to creatinggreaterpossibilities.com, where there's a free video and audio series created especially for you. Once again, creatinggreaterpossibilities.com. It's free, and it's designed to give you the actual tools that you need to create the life you've always been looking for. creatinggreaterpossibilities.com.
Tune in to The Sean and Jen Show, Soul Path Insights Radio, each Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show with Sean and Jen will have you saying yes to as much abundance as you desire. Imagine a happier soul, radiating energy in all areas of your life. Get ready to understand the meaning and the message in your life. Shift obstacles to opulence. Experience powerful, intuitive coaching, live readings, and transformative tools as Sean and Jen dare you to live your best life.
Hello, everybody. This is Sherry Dillard with Intuit University, and I hope I am here with Jerry Wenstrom, and I'm very happy that he's here. And I hope that you all take the opportunity to look at some of his work. He's got a documentary out right now that I think, Jerry, it's about your life, is it, and the work you've been doing?
Yes, it's been out for probably 12, 13 years. Parabola Magazine, it's a Parabola Magazine video. Uh-huh. And now it's a DVD by Sentient Publications. But there's also a feature film being made about my life and my journey.
Right, that's the one I was... Okay.
Yeah, by a Danish filmmaker, Hans Fabian Willenweber.
And that's a feature film. Do you know when that's going to be completed?
Well, we're working pretty intensely on the screenplay now, so I'm very involved in that.
Wow, exciting,
process.
Isn't that?
A little daunting, both.
Yeah, I bet. Do you play you, or is there an actor playing you?
No, it's got to be an actor because it's a younger, it starts in 1979.
Right. Now, here's a question that I would love to ask you and get your thoughts on. You're talking about fear, the power of fear, confronting death, surrender. My question is this, because it seems like a paradox to me, but your thoughts on, so much in kind of the current spirituality, we talk about eliminating our fears and moving beyond our fears, or not giving in to fear, And I realize that in part that means, the ability to act despite fear. It also means, to be able to not let fear kind of isolate us and freeze us into non-action or not going forward. But the problem, I think, sometimes with that is, or with we have with fear, is that we view it as, you know, the way you talk about fear and the way that you talk about death and surrender is really different in essence, and it may not be in practice, but in the essence that I get it from you, it feels kind of different than, it almost feels like yours is more about embracing fear, you know? Would you say that's true?
Yes, but I also think there are conditions. It's not like we put ourselves in ridiculous situations in order to face our fears. I think, you know, I'm coming from a life, having given everything up, of simply being present with what comes. So I think when it comes to facing our fears, we don't necessarily have to, you know, climb a mountain or jump down a well to, you know, to face something we're afraid of. It's more like, what is it in our lives right here, right now, that
right.
sort of continues to confront us, that we, that everything in our egos and our being is telling us to avoid? I mean, it's more like that kind of a thing. And that's an unconditional thing. You know, I mean, if you've read my book, there are stories where I was confronted with street gangs, and I wouldn't walk in out in the middle of the night to confront a street gang, yet it happened. And so what do you do with that? You know, I have a personal mantra. There's either a God of everything or a God of nothing. So if that God of everything is in all things, all events that, you know, that we are confronted with, then it's sort of our task as human beings to face the fear of the moment and hold the place of courage and openness and find out what the gift in that very difficult, impossible situation is. And I think, you know, having done that and having made that a way of life, and I still have things that scare the hell out of me, and yet to stay present with it is to receive the gift that's hidden there. And if you think about fear, it blocks our energies. And so, you know, within those encapsulated potential moments of confronting those fears, there's incredible possibility for very inspired moments. And I think facing our fear gives us a life where events become inspirational and liberating rather than limiting and damaging. And I think most of what we do is protect ourselves from our fears, from those things that we think are going to hurt us. And yet, our best, you know, the best of who we are has the possibility of being discovered in those limitations. So it's a complete paradox. And I don't think we should be foolhardy, but I think there's something about staying present and being aware enough in our life to know what is ours and to know what it is we have to do to be free of our limitations.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, yeah, definitely. Let me ask you, let's go back to the book that you wrote, The Inspired Heart. And that is an autobiography, and I know you kind of mentioned it a moment ago. Is there any other message in that book that maybe you'd like to share with us right now?
Well, you know, I mean, you can write about anything in a book. I was approached by a publisher and asked if I wanted to write a book, and so I said, sure. It was at a time when I had enough, I had so many people coming, and I was so tired of my own story, I felt like, well, a book would be great. I'll just download it and I'll be done with it. And so, you know, what I think, how it is I wrote the book, which I think is ultimately the message, is a lot of what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. I simply wrote those, I wrote the tale, the stories of those moments where all was seemingly lost, and yet something miraculous came through to absolutely radically transform the moment. So it's basically a series of those stories. The message, if any, is that is the potential for all of our lives, you know, to find inspiration in the darkest places sometimes. I mean, anyone can be happy in the happy places, but I think when we can find joy and inspiration in the difficult places, then life is really a complete package. You know, otherwise it's only partial. You know, we can only be happy when it's easy, but when it gets difficult, we run for cover. I think the essence of my book is the essence of my journey, which is the facing and the staying present with those difficult places and finding that inspiration. And it's nothing new by no one special. I think we all have the potential to do that right here and now in each moment with each experience. We're all in the best seat in the house, every one of us. And right. No one's life is any harder or easier. It's all potentially there right where we are.
Would you say that you have a specific spiritual practice, or is your life, how do you feel about that?
Well, I certainly studied very many spiritual practices, and I think for me, way back when, in 1979, when I destroyed my work, my spiritual practice more than any other was my art. And so having given that up, I just knew that I wasn't going to give myself to any other limiting false god. And, you know, I think, and that's not to say that a spiritual practice isn't a good thing, but I needed to know that it was in life in all ways and not just in the safety of some kind of a contained philosophy or idea of how things should be. So, you know, I don't have a spiritual practice, although I completely value and have studied many spiritual practices. And I think if a spiritual practice works for you, it will always take you to the place where you even have to leave some of your ideas about your spiritual practice behind and be present with what actually is in your life. So, again, it's another one of those practices. You know, it all leads to heaven. And yet we can limit that heaven by staying too fixated on the details of a particular practice.
Mm-hmm. You know, I want to talk to you. I think we have a couple minutes before we go to break, and we may need to address this when we get back from break. One of the things that I have found for myself is that metaphors in my life have become very, very real energies, and often behind what looks like a myth or a metaphor, there is a very powerful reality that is as tangible as, you know, kind of me or you or anybody else. When I worked, I started an art therapy program for kids that were in inner city kids who were basically targeted and labeled as violent. And before I went into the program with the art therapy, they were kind of all sitting in a room all day with kind of guards around them, and, you know, they couldn't move. And so I started doing art therapy with them. But one of the things I started with them was I would tell them different myths, and we would talk about stories. And it was kind of interesting because as I talked about different stories, different myths, it was like it activated certain realities and certain kind of timeless energies for them, that even though these were kids that were like 15, 16 years old, who really had not had a lot of education, were a lot of them in gangs, there was something about that timelessness of a metaphor that and the myth that kind of spoke to them, and it actually seemed to heal them in significant ways, and they started participating in art in a way that was kind of surprising to everybody. It was like the one thing they would do was art. We are going to have to go to a break, though. Maybe we'll kind of talk about that a little bit, your own experience with that, because I noticed a lot of your work, to me, kind of centers around, I don't know what you call them, but certain beings, and to me that's a very real, powerful kind of energy. We are talking with Jerry Winstrom. Again, he has a feature film coming out at some point about his life that I think will be incredible, that I hope you can all maybe look for. He's an artist. He's an author. He has his book, What is Hands of Alchemy? And I am Sherry Dillard, and can be reached at www.sherrydillard.com. If you want to give any comments or get in touch with me, feel free. My email address is sgd7777@yahoo.com. We'll be right back.
Change your coffee experience forever with Camino Island Coffee Roaster. Fair trade, certified organic, shade-grown delicious coffee. The Camino Island Coffee Roasters are giving back. Receive a free pound of the most popular single-origin coffee, Papua New Guinea, to the first 250 callers. The number is toll-free, 855-438-8671. Just pay $8.95 shipping and handling, and you can try triple certified coffee for yourself. The number is toll-free, 855-438-8671. This is a free pound of coffee that retails at $16.95. Once you've tried this coffee, you will automatically be enrolled in the Coffee Lovers Club for free and will always receive free shipping and nearly 30% off retail of your coffee orders. This coffee is going to knock your socks off. That number again is 855-GET-TOP-1. We say top one because this coffee is the top 1% grade. That's 855-438-8671.
Tune into Intuit University, compassionate guidance, connecting you to your inner wisdom with internationally renowned psychic and medium, Sherry Dillard. Each Thursday at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern. Get ready for an hour of practical spirituality, fun, and a magic carpet ride into the spirit realm. This hit show is a combination of call-in readings and intuitive mentoring, as Sherry supports, inspires, and empowers you to create your highest good in relationships, career, finances, life purpose, spirituality, and more. For more information, visit SherryDillard.com.
Tune in each week on Wednesdays at 12 Pacific and 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. And Dr. Peggy will lead you through the maze of info on topics from allergies and antioxidants to zinc and xylitol and all points in between, providing you with simple solutions to help you achieve optimal health for your mind, body, and spirit. Visit SimpleHealthNetwork.com to take your health back and get your copy of Dr. Peggy's amazing cookbook, OMG! That's allergy free.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Hello, this is Sherry Dillard, and we're back with Intuit University with Jerry Winstrom. We're talking about art, all kinds of good stuff, death, transformation, and documentary of Jerry's life, and also a feature film coming out, which I'm excited to see. We're talking, before we went to the break, we talked a little bit, I was sharing a little bit about Jerry's sculptures, which are, like I said, you've got to see them to really appreciate them. And I was talking about some of the work that I had done with kids with metaphors and myths and kind of beings, kind of energy beings. And I'm just curious, Jerry, I'd love to know more about that for you. When you create, I don't know, to me when I looked at them, they seemed like really beings to me, you know, your art.
Well, I think the essential nature of myth is that at some level it resonates with our soul. Even though different cultures have different myths, there's sort of a golden thread running through it all. And I believe that we can tap into those, or intuit those energies, you might say, and those expressions and have them come through our particular processes, whatever they are, whether we're artists or parents or anything else, somehow we can tap into that kind of collective spirit, that collective knowing, and have it come through as an expression in our lives. And so, you know, I believe that very strongly. I think we all feel when we know it's happening, because sometimes we'll say something or do something or draw something or create something that just simply resonates for other people. It's what we call inspired art. Or, you know, I think the great movements in art are exactly that. They're expressions of that collective consciousness coming through a group of artists or a particular artist. So, you know, myth has that. It resonates with each of us in its own way, and yet somehow there's some part of our being that says yes to what it is we are standing before.
Yeah. Do you feel like, what's your relationship with your art once it's completed? Once you've finished a piece, what kind of relationship do you have with it?
Well, you know, after the initial kind of elation to be done, because they're so complex and some
of them
take so long.
Yeah, they are really complex looking, yeah.
You know, then after a while, I don't even see them anymore. I have them, you know, I have a 2,000 square foot studio, and it's actually full of them right now.
Oh.
And I, you know, I'm just on to the next thing, but
so the passion is in the creating, yeah.
Yeah, and
yeah.
Many people come here. So I re-experience them in some small way through other people when they are moved by them or comment on them. You know, I feel some of what they are saying or seeing, and that's always nice. But for the most part, when they're done, and I'm on to something else.
And they're kind of then they're speaking to others maybe, or kind of reaching out and sharing their magic that they shared with you, maybe with others through, you know, maybe obviously in a different way, because your relationship with them was, you know, so intimate that you were working in that way. So do people come and visit you? People come, do you have like a studio that people can go through?
Yes, I have a very large studio space here. Like I said, it's 2,000 square feet. We have many visitors.
Yeah, that is very large.
Groups come sometimes.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay, so it would be something that people would have to, can anybody go, or would you have to, like, call or set up a
Well, yeah, I mean, people call. I mean,
yeah.
I welcome everyone. I certainly work with groups. I mean, I have people, I do film showings here. Sometimes I show the Parabola sentient documentary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll do different things with people as well as show them the art. We even have a dormitory. We have many guests come and stay with us.
Oh, wow. Well, that's very cool. Huh, that would be quite an experience, wouldn't it? So where are you going? What are you moving into now, do you feel? I know you've got the film, but beyond that, just on a personal level, what kind of door, what kind of fear, what's the next kind of step into probably death and transformation for you, does it feel like?
Well, I think that when we let the gods know we mean business one good time, and that radical shift occurs for us, then at some level we never quite have to do it the same way ever again. And I know that even just talking about that, it has the potential for a lot of controversy, but I think there really is such a thing as a kind of holy retirement where we do what we need to do with all of our heart and soul, and there's a gift that's given. It's not like we've accomplished something. It's more like there's something that we receive, which is like a promise, and that promise comes through like clockwork. I mean, it comes through in a way that's always unexpected, and yet there's something in the cycles of our life that sort of renews that gift. And having that occur, I feel life becomes something of, you know, and that's certainly at my age, you know, I'm 62, we can have something of a retirement in a sense where it's the kind of celebratory end of the journey, as it should be. And I think our chronological age and the age of our journey, and it should all be in a kind of harmony where, as our energies dwindle, the world is doing more for, you know, the world is doing more of the work than we have to do than when we're young. Mm-hmm. So at this point in my life, I feel like I'm still very attentive. I still do my very best to be the best possible human being. And yet I don't take my efforts so seriously because I've never had to depend on them. In some way, the gift does a whole lot more of the work than I do. So what I am now is attentive to the gift, attentive to the moment. And I stay present with that. And whether I make mistakes or I do things well, I don't take credit for the great things, and I don't go so far into, you know, depression because things go wrong. I feel like it's all about staying present with what is at this point.
And is that the gift? When you refer to the gift, do you mean that, being present? Is that what the gift is?
The gift is the way things are renewed when all seems lost. Mm-hmm. You know, there are cycles. I just got to, you know, like I was wondering, well, things are really difficult financially, and I was wondering, well, how does, you know, well, where do I go from here? And, you know, because I do what I do. I don't charge for anything. You know, people certainly pay me or things come through. And I was in a place where all that seemed like it was ending. Just this week. Mm-hmm. And a friend who had supported our work in the past, he had a wealthy wife who died, and they supported us through a foundation that I knew he, you know, I thought it was all done and over, and I knew he was actually struggling financially now because his family was, you know, sort of withdrawing his funds as well. So we had him over to just support him. You know, he had supported our film, and his wife and him had. And so when he was about to leave, so we had him over because he was financially struggling, and we made him a nice dinner and supported him. When he started to leave, he turns around and says, "Oh, do you guys need money? My wife left me with the tail end of this foundation money, and I have to give it away this year. And I just found out 2 days ago that I was given $15,000 of a grant through this foundation, which, you know, opens up all the possibilities again." And so I think, you know, there's the cycle. So all is lost again. Well, I don't know. Where do I go from here? But I think now, the difference between now and when I was younger is you have to look at it both eyes. One eye is the eye of the world that says, this is crazy. It's all is lost here. There's nothing more to be done. And then you look at it the other eye and you know that, but that's where the magic happens. You know, in that emptiness is where the new beginning. There's no more light. The moon has no more light. You're in complete darkness, but there's the beginning of the new moon. And that's the promise. You know, that
Absolutely.
New moon is the promise.
Thank you so much, Jerry. It's been a pleasure having you. Again, I'm sorry for the earlier difficulties with the technical kinds of things, but you know, maybe that's part of the whole journey here too, is kind of, you know, just being present to that and being able to move through it and get to this good place. It's been a pleasure having you, and again, this is Jerry Wenstrom, www.handsofalchemy.com. The Inspired Heart, An Artist's Journey of Transformation is his book. He does have a documentary, In the Hands of Alchemy, and there is a feature film coming out about his work. He is in Whitby, I guess, Island in Washington, and I hope you all take a look at his work, take a look at his book, the documentary. This is Sherry Dillard, Intuit University, and I'll be back next week at this same time, and we're going to be talking a little bit about how to work with the Divine Feminine in your everyday life. Thank you so much for listening.
You've been listening to Intuit University, Compassionate Guidance, connecting you to your inner wisdom with internationally renowned psychic and medium, Sherry Dillard. Tune in each Thursday at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com and get ready for an hour of practical spirituality, fun, and a magic carpet ride into the spirit realm. Each week, Sherry will combine call-in readings and intuitive mentoring as she supports, inspires, and empowers you to create your highest good in relationships, career, finances, life purpose, spirituality, and more. For more information about Sherry and to schedule your personal session, visit visit www.sherrydiller.com. That's www.sherrydiller.com. See you next week on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of The Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host at transformationtalkradio.com.
Transformation Talk Radio, a higher consciousness perspective. The hosts on Transformation Talk Radio offer a positive and new paradigm shift, a new vision for a collective future. They are empowering and helping all of us experience a powerful wave of personal shifts and cultural change as we break through to even greater levels of awareness. Take down our toll-free number, 1-800-930-2819. Call in, connect, make sure you tap into some of the world's most empowering psychics, healers, and more. Get an on-air reading with the best. Tune in, TransformationTalkRadio.com. Hey, everybody, we'll see you there.
TransformationTalkRadio.com. Transform your life.
I used to be afraid, and now I love. I feel like fear just cripples you and love frees you. Thank you so much for doing what you're doing and changing from fear to love and showing people that that's the only way. I love, I love, I love. I no longer fear. Thank you.
You're tuned in to Transformation Talk Radio. Think the Dr. Pat Show's the cat's meow? Just listen to what some of her transformative guests have had to say.
What's your personal message? What would you like to leave us with?
Believe in yourself always. Remember that you are a gift. You are a miracle. And the only way you can return any part of that gift is what you do with it. Live into yourself. Be that miracle.
I love it. Eldon Taylor, everyone.
And thank you, Pat. I love joining you. You're a wonderful host.
Thank you. And we're going to bring Eldon back because we just haven't even scratched the surface here. Thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on.
Thank you for listening. And keep us tuned in right here on Transformation Talk Radio.